This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 855 with Heidi Carlson. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 855. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Heidi Carlson is a certified master life, relationship, and self-empowerment coach who helps women navigating complex mother-daughter dynamics. Raised as the youngest of five children to young immigrant parents in an arranged marriage, Heidi faced unique challenges stemming from her parents' limited life and relationship experience. Growing up in a culture that prioritized people-pleasing over self-prioritization left her without essential life skills, compounded by her parents' struggling marriage, further complicating her understanding of a healthy relationship. After high school, Heidi embarked on a distant relationship with her mother, asserting her independence, boundaries, and needs. Her mother could not understand or accept it, resulting in ongoing conflict and unresolved issues. At 19, Heidi's transformative journey began with deep self-discovery and personal growth. Heidi now embodies self-compassion, prioritizes herself, communicates effectively, and maintains boundaries. Her journey also transformed her relationship with her mother. Over the years, Heidi has guided countless women on similar paths of personal growth and healing. In 2021, amid the COVID pandemic, Heidi transitioned from her three-decade corporate marketing career to fulfill her life's mission as a life coach. Completing a rigorous 9-month coaching program in December of 2022, she officially launched Heidi Carlson Coaching in January of 2023. She is a respected guiding force, inspiring women to take control of their lives and mend their mother-daughter relationships. Listen in to hear Heidi share her experience being the youngest of five kids born to immigrant parents who were married at a very young age by way of an arranged marriage, how her family's circumstances suppressed her identity, how her family dynamics and her trying relationship with her mom led her down a path of personal discovery, the impact of her being labeled her mom's mini-me, and how it contributed to her struggles with identity, the significance of healing mother-daughter relationships to show up differently in all areas of your life, how consistency played a big role in healing herself and healing her relationship with her mom, and how that can play out for you, and what it looks like to shift from someone who was chronically self-sacrificial in relationships to someone who uses her voice, sets boundaries, asks for what she needs in relationships, and goes after what she wants in spite of others' opinions. This is such an interesting, fascinating conversation. There's aspects of this conversation with Heidi that we've never touched on before in the Shameless Mom Academy. And I'm so honored that Heidi was here to really dive deep on her relationship with her mom, the really unique dynamics in her family as she was growing up, where things stand now, and also what she is doing to help other women who are navigating tricky relationships with their mothers. So with all that, please join me in welcoming Heidi Carlson to the Shameless Mom Academy. Heidi, welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Sarah, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here and to have this conversation with you.
I always like to give people a little bit of context. And so we met through a mutual friend who's also a coach. And then you came to the first and only in-person Shameless Mom Con. And we've had our paths cross multiple times since then, virtually, in person, which has been really, really fun and exciting. And I've got to watch your career evolve over all that time as well. And so that's kind of what brought us here today.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually started listening to your podcast before I ever met you. I was introduced to your podcast not too long after I became a mom because I was struggling. And somebody, a friend, recommended, you need to listen to Sarah Dean's podcast. Great. And so I started listening and I was like, this is amazing. And this is exactly what I need. And then just, you know, fast forward, I participated in your MomCon and yeah, it's been great.
I love that. I don't know that I remembered that part of the story, or maybe I didn't know. You and I both have singular sons, and remind me, Hunter is, how old is he? I think he's
15,
a little older than
you. Just started high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little older than Vinny. So Vinny is thinking he's ruling the world in the fifth grade, but freshman in high school, that's like really ruling the world.
Yeah, but he's got a good start.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so let's dig in. I want you to tell us a little bit more about the dynamics of your personal and professional life beyond your bio, kind of what's happening currently, and anything you're really excited about right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm most excited about the life I've been creating for myself and my family at this stage in my life. And it's been a journey getting here. It's just been kind of step by step. I just have the most loving, compassionate relationship with myself more than I ever have before. And my personal and professional life, as you said, you kind of followed my journey. They're now intertwined since I transitioned from my marketing career to life coaching. I completed an outstanding, rigorous 9-month coaching training program last year. And I had the opportunity to coach hundreds of hours during the program. And I was coached hundreds of hours during the program, which is amazing. I graduated at the top percent of my class. And I get to continue my growth journey while helping clients do the same. And I have a healthy 18-year marriage that my husband and I work hard at maintaining. And as we've shared, I have an amazing 15-year-old son that still likes to hang out with me.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the biggest mom win ever.
It's a huge mom win. And people continue to remind me how amazing that is. And I'm truly grateful. It really fills my soul. And I work hard at it. You know, we have to work hard to have that, right? And then also, I have 4 siblings, and we've always been a very close family, but there's been a lot going on in our lives. And, you know, I feel like today our relationships, as well as the relationship with my mother, are really the strongest they've ever been. And so I'm really just grateful for all of that right now. And that's really what I'm most excited about today.
I love it. So many layers in there, so many good things. So when we started talking about you coming on the show, you talked about where your personal and professional journey have overlapped, especially as you have had this, you know, professional evolution over the last few years. And you were like, well, we could talk about this or we could talk about that. And many interesting topics, but you kind of like casually was like, oh, and maybe this other thing. And I was like, oh, that's the thing. And so you come from a really unique background. You're the youngest of 5 kids, and you were born to immigrant parents who married at a very young age by way of an arranged marriage. So there's a lot in there to unpack. Can you talk a little bit about who you are in terms with these components and layers of your identity?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. So, and I'm very happy to talk about it. So I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I've essentially lived on the West Coast my whole life, starting with San Francisco, and then I moved to Los Angeles, San Diego, and now I'm in Seattle. We share a city together. I did a I spent a ski season in Mammoth Lakes in California after college and worked on the mountain for a season, which was fun. And as I mentioned, married 18 years, I have a 15-year-old son. And as far as me personally, I love what makes me happy, what kind of lights me up is I love playing sports. I love tennis, volleyball, basketball, skiing. Huge Dave Matthews fan and Pink fan. I love the outdoors and nature. It fills my soul, as does traveling anywhere and everywhere. I also love meeting new people, building community, connection, and relationships. And then professionally, as I've mentioned, I've shifted careers and I'm a certified master life coach. I graduated from the Elementum Coaching Institute December of 2022, and I specialize in mother-daughter relationships. I guide women navigating complex mother-daughter dynamics to heal their pain and struggle and build an empowering relationship with themselves. And as far as my personal story, my upbringing, if you'd like me to go there.
Yeah, I would love that.
Let's do it. As you mentioned, as you know, I grew up the youngest of five kids to immigrant parents who were forced to marry at a young age. My parents migrated to the U.S. and immediately started a family. My mom was 19. My upbringing was a combination of love, uncertainty, and worry. And my parents had a really difficult marriage with heavy conflict, pain, and struggle. And they didn't have any support or tools to help them navigate their life and their marriage and together.
Was there other family in that were also over here? Or were they pretty isolated?
No, there was other family on my dad's side, but they weren't aware that, you know, and back then, no one really talked about their internal troubles.
Yeah.
You know, mental health was at a different place when I was growing up. And this was decades ago.
Yeah.
And I really don't know if my mom in particular, and honestly, my dad would even feel comfortable talking with any of the family about it because it was so private. It was painful. And, you know, I think in some ways there was like pride that, you know, back then too, like people didn't even really talk about divorce much.
Yeah.
So it was just not really like, I think today, if they had the marriage they had, certainly there'd be a ton of resources out there that they can leverage. But I was growing up, they were just surviving. They were just surviving to, you know, work really hard, raising us and surviving in their marriage. And that's all they had the bandwidth for, you know? Yeah. And so with that, you know, marrying young and also some generational trauma, my parents lacked a lot of essential life and relationship skills as they embarked on their journey together. They modeled a lot of important skills during my upbringing. I learned resilience. I learned humility, hard work, love, compassion for others. But they were unable to model a lot of other critical skills that I was not raised with. For example, I didn't see healthy relationship modeling growing up. I witnessed a lot of toxic conflict and communication. I didn't see boundaries modeled. We were a very heavy people-pleasing family, so we were always giving and sacrificing ourselves for others. I had no idea how to receive or ask for help, had no awareness of self-prioritization, self-compassion, self-love. Like those concepts didn't exist in our world. And I didn't learn how to identify, feel, or express my emotions, but instead suppress them. In addition to that, I and my family, we looked external for everything. We looked external for happiness, fulfillment, validation, and guidance. I didn't know how to rely on and trust within myself for any of that. And then my identity was also suppressed because it was wrapped in my mother's. I was really praised as being a mini version of my mom. I looked a lot like her, and that was a big part of my identity, and my mom loved it. And then as the youngest to four amazing siblings, I didn't really learn how to use my voice to stand up for myself because growing up, my four siblings always stood up for me and spoke up for me. So
all the youngest people who are listening to the show right now are like, yeah.
And honestly, even when I would try to speak up, my voice was never heard because I had a softer voice as well. And my siblings had a loud voice. So nobody even knew I was talking.
Yeah.
But I think I just kind of gave in, but they were doing a good job also. So I was like, okay, it's working, you know? And then at 19, I moved away for college. And during that time, I embarked on a lifelong self-discovery and personal growth journey. I immersed myself in therapy to start. And then later I engaged in coaching, growth programs, workshops, retreats, and more. And then I continued that work my whole life, you know, learning, healing, and growing while helping others along the way.
So when you talk about your experience growing up with your really unique family dynamics and being the youngest, and I think those are such interesting coexisting layered identities and dynamics. I imagine this little girl who takes everything in and like sees everything, but isn't given the opportunity to like externally process anything or very many things. And so you're just carrying a lot. Am I accurate?
Yeah. So I would say that I was an excellent observer. Mm-hmm. I would see everything that was happening and I would know, okay, that's bad. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. that's good. And so in some way, I would say I was taking a lot in, but I was always also learning from it. I was also learning like what to do and what not to do. So in that way, it was also a gift. Mm-hmm. And I really have lived my life that whole way. I am a quick learner. When I experience things or I witness things, I learn instantly to continue doing that or to never do that again.
Yeah, that makes sense. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder. So if you are a heavy shedder or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. And they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTru.com and enter the code SHAMELESS at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code SHAMELESS, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code SHAMELESS. I'm curious with your parents and your siblings, did your siblings, or everyone's circumstances and experiences are going to be different, of course, but do you and your siblings feel like you have similar experiences growing up in the household that you grew up in? Or do you have, like, I know my mom was one of five as well. She was the oldest of five. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting when she talks about her experiences in her household growing up, she feels like she has this really different experience than her younger siblings, especially the really young ones, because she was like, well, I was an only child for 5 years. And then like the first girl, and there's all these kind of layers to it where she recognizes she had this different experience. Like there's commonalities that they hold, but also very big differences. And I think in that youngest position, I'm wondering if you also have some of that that's different than the others.
100%. Absolute difference. It's actually, should I say funny? I'm not sure, but I'm one of five and there's like 2 to 3 years between each of us. But from me to the oldest, there's 12 years.
Okay.
So when I share my experiences growing up and especially my two older siblings share, it's night and day. They're like, which parents raised you? We don't know them.
Wow.
It's completely different. And it's interesting because, you know, my oldest sibling, especially my oldest, my mom had her at 19. My mom was a kid.
Yeah.
And so my mom had no idea. You know, she's in this marriage, trying to figure it out, has this kid, has no idea. She's learning clearly as she goes, as we all do, by the way. And so my parents were extremely protective, extremely strict. They were trying to like figure out American life and do all these things and survive and all of that. And so they were really strict and protective and didn't really let my older siblings do a whole lot. And then fast forward many years, you know, they get the hang of it. And eventually my parents did divorce when I was in middle, like a seventh grade. But by the time me and my closer sibling were growing up, you know, 10, 12 years later, my parents were really laxed. We had a ton of freedom. We played sports. We just did everything. And so the lives are really completely different.
Yeah. I'm curious with your parents, because I'm imagining that they had grown up with arranged marriage being pretty normal and something that they witnessed culturally. But then being in the US, that's not something is typical culturally. I know you can't speak for them, but do they talk about that at all? Do you have thoughts on what they saw when they were growing up versus like what was around them when they were actually living in that experience?
You know, so not all of, on my mom's side, not all of her sisters were, she comes from a big family of 10. Okay. And not all of them were arranged. Some of them were. And my parents were not the type of people to talk about things. Like they would never sit us down and talk about arranged marriage or, because to be honest, it was really painful. Neither of them wanted to get married. My mom wanted to go to college. Like it was a very difficult time when they got married. So unfortunately, they had a bad start from the beginning. But it wasn't something my parents would ever talk about. And honestly, even it took a long time when I would ask my mom and my dad questions to get like real answers back. And so I don't even think they ever reflected on that. They just learned, this is my duty. I need to get arranged. I absolutely don't want to. I'm being forced. I have no choice. So I just need to keep moving forward. And that's really the mindset they had. It was just keep moving forward. They never reflected. They didn't have this, like, you know, the whole self-awareness going on. They really, I would say, never even had time to think about themselves. It was just surviving the marriage that was really difficult. My parents had a business together. So, you know, it was very busy from morning till night. And then they had, you know, the five of us and we were active, you know, we didn't just sit home twiddling our thumbs. So they had a really full plate.
Yeah.
And so I would say that my mom probably never thought about herself raising us. And actually, it's probably 100% true that she really gave her life to us and equally my dad as well.
I think that makes so much sense. And I also think that when we're in those places of like having to just make things work and get through, especially in like marriage with five kids and running a business, it totally makes sense that they would be in survival mode and not be able to, like, even if they wanted to be self-reflective, that first of all, wasn't like modeled and wasn't really a thing at that time, but also like who would have the capacity at the end of the day to like want to sit down and think through?
When we're raising our kids, we don't have capacity sometimes to think about what just happened. It's like, I need to make dinner. I need to get ready for work tomorrow. I need to drive my son to sports, right? We don't even have, like, you really have to intentionally set that time aside. And as you mentioned, back then, nobody thought about that stuff.
Yeah.
Or talked about it.
Yeah. Which is interesting. So I want to go to the next kind of part in your story where you say that at a young age, you started to become really interested in personal development and really sought that out, which I don't think is a super common thing, especially at that time for young people to be seeking out. But I'm curious how you think, what inspired that for you? And also if that was connected to your upbringing, that you had this really big curiosity in personal development.
Yeah. Well, you're spot on there because as I was growing up, I was really wise and I knew I was going to have to do some work to learn to have a healthy life for myself because I was, you know, seeing a healthy marriage and, you know, I'm not going to get married anytime soon, but I just knew I had this awareness. I had this curiosity. And so I wanted to learn when that time came. But what really initiated my self-discovery and personal growth journey was after I moved away at 19, the dynamic with my mother became really difficult and painful. And my mom wanted me to continue to be like her. And I was fighting to be me. I was asserting my independence and my newfound voice, and she just couldn't understand it or accept it at the time. And I would often be labeled a good daughter and then a bad daughter, and it would just flip back and forth often. It was really like a toxic roller coaster emotionally. I would feel terrible. I would have huge guilt. I would beat myself up inside for hurting my mother to stand up for myself. My mom, I mean, she meant the world to me. I loved her more than anything. She was my primary caregiver. She devoted her life to me and sacrificed everything. And I just felt like I owe her more than this. I can't leave our relationship like this. And I can't survive with it this way. So I was kind of desperate and I needed to learn how to protect and honor myself while building a healthy relationship with my mother. And so that's why I initially started therapy. And then when I got going at 19, I was just in love with the work. I was like, this is amazing.
You were in love with the work as a patient or client in therapy?
Yeah, I was all over it. Like,
that doesn't surprise me because you are such, yeah. Again, such an observer, such a curious person. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
And I really fell in love with it. And I knew that I was going to do it for the rest of my life, whether I did or didn't have issues. Because to be honest, this work is so beneficial. When things are going good, we can still learn other good stuff. And I will do that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I want to go back. You mentioned something earlier that I flagged and then didn't return to. You mentioned being labeled your mom's mini me. And then you've kind of shared a little bit more about being a good daughter, bad daughter. I always have this, and I can never like quite label it, but I always have this like very uncomfortable feeling when people, when I see it like tagged on social media or people labeling their kids mini me's, it just like does not sit with me well at all. Yeah. And I know it's not intended to be done in a way that is like negative or harmful or has unintended, you know, negative consequences, but there's just something that like, I mean, you used the term earlier, suppressing identity, and it kind of feels like that's a really good way to label it. I think when you say your kid is your mini me, like you're suppressing their identity. And that helped me kind of put my finger on that. But I'm curious, do you have any thoughts around that label now, having grown up that way and then kind of seeing how it's used in more popular culture?
Yeah. And I do agree with you. So I will say in my coaching training program last year, as I mentioned, I was coached hundreds of hours and I grew even so much more then. But we had this exercise where I looked at a picture of me. I think I was like, I don't even know, 4, 5. Mm. And I was holding my mother's hand. And what came up was a memory of my mom was proudly presenting me to somebody saying, this is my daughter. She looks just like me. Isn't she beautiful? And I remember inside, I was not happy. I wasn't happy being identified as someone else. I wanted to be identified as me. And I'll say that throughout my upbringing, that was a big part of my identity is I look up to my mom. I love my mom. She's my primary caregiver. And she's proud that I look like her and I'm acting like her and speaking like her. So in one way, I wanted to like continue the approval, continue to make her happy, continue to be a good daughter. But there was a part of me that was like resistant inside to, I don't want to be your mini me. I want to be Heidi. Like, who is Heidi? Yeah. Right? And so I do feel that we have to be really careful when we are identifying someone, our child or whomever, as isn't he or she just like me. In some ways, that's a great compliment, but to hold on to that every day can really confuse, I believe, your child.
Yeah.
Because your child wants your approval. Your child wants to be accepted. Your child doesn't want to ruffle feathers. So if you're saying that when they're like me, I love them and I approve of them and they're worthy and they're valuable, then you might also be saying when they're not like me, they're the opposite. And I will say for me in particular, well, when I moved away at 19, it became very evident that when I was changing and becoming me, my mom didn't like it. Because I started speaking up at 19. I suppose I could have started speaking up at, 13, 14, 15. That never came up for me. And my mom, just didn't come up at that time.
Yeah.
But when I moved away at 19, that's when I started becoming, living life for Heidi. Like, who is Heidi? Who are you? And so that's when that started coming up for me. And then, the dynamic with my mother was changing. Because all of a sudden in her mind, she's like, who are you? Like, where'd you go?
Right? And you're both asking that question. Like, yeah. You're asking yourself that question while she's asking you that question.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Oh,
that sounds confusing. Like, again, just like a lot to carry. And especially for someone who has been raised to be sacrificial. That sounds so uncomfortable to me. Like, I'm actually not you, I'm me. I don't know what that means, but I'm me.
It's so true. Like, when I look back at my upbringing, being a huge people-pleasing family just made it all so much worse.
Yeah.
Because we, in addition to like not expressing emotions and not self-prioritizing, we were giving everything to everybody all the time, saying yes to everything. And that didn't help the situation at all.
Yeah. You talk about your love of being in therapy, and now you're in this position of coaching others, which is being on the other side of that therapeutic model. Life coaching is not the same as therapy, but it's definitely, there's definitely some parallels in that client and provider relationship. Can you talk about that shift from being that constant learner, which I know you still are, but to then becoming someone who's supporting others?
Yeah. So, throughout my life, I was always extremely passionate about helping others. It just literally filled my soul. And I loved listening to people. I loved guiding people. I had a gift for it. I helped people through struggle. And I helped a lot of people throughout my journey. And the more I continued to learn and grow on my journey, the more I helped others on theirs. And I was seeing how much I was helping people. And it just touched my heart so much. And so fast forward during COVID, with all the struggle and pain in the world, my heart was like breaking for all of us. And I felt a calling to switch careers. And I realized during that time that I was ready to end my 30-year corporate marketing career and pursue my life's mission. And my life's mission was to become a life coach and help people professionally. And I've had glimpses throughout my life in my marketing career of switching to, the personal growth field, the self-help field, but I never quite knew where I fit. And then when I was introduced to coaching as a client about 15 or so years ago, that's when a little light bulb started flickering, like, huh, maybe this is for you one day. Because I kind of felt like I did have a place in this field one day. I just didn't know where, and I never wanted to be. I just didn't, being a therapist didn't resonate with me for some reason. I think I wanted a position where I could be really creative in helping someone. And in therapy, therapy is amazing.
Yeah.
And coaching, and they each have their place. And by the way, they're also very complementary.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to be able to serve people in a creative way. And I didn't know what that was until I was introduced to coaching. And so fast forward today, I'm extremely honored to help women heal and build empowering relationships with themselves, just the way I was able to do. I mean, it is a gift to help other women. After my journey and what I've gone through in my life, if I can help other women heal, their mother-daughter dynamic, or even just another relationship, I would be more than honored to do that. And I feel like when it comes to our mother-daughter dynamic, when we can heal that dynamic that's struggling, I truly believe it creates a domino effect, and it helps us heal all of our relationships if we choose to, because we start to show up differently. And that's the golden ticket. Is showing up differently in our relationships. And we all deserve healthy relationships.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit about how did you start to create that shift for yourself? Like having this awareness when you were 19 and doing a lot of learning and professional growth. I'm imagining this was more than just like one hard conversation with your mom. I'm imagining this was a bit of a series of conversations and events maybe over the course of quite a while.
It was a journey. It was quite a journey. It was a very slow process. And I feel like true with this kind of work, it's often a slow process because we have to be careful with how we're treating ourselves and how we're also treating the people that we're trying to change our relationship with. Mm-hmm. So from my journey, I truly transformed, and I transformed the relationship with my mom. And the way I did that was, it was not a lot of conversations with my mom because she just wouldn't understand me in the conversation. So it was really just me showing up differently. And the way that worked is that I just stayed open and very committed to my self-discovery and personal growth journey. And I tackled every struggle that rose until I healed and grew from it. So, you know, whatever that struggle was with my mom, I would just stay focused on it until I worked through it. I read the books, I saw a therapist, I did coaching, whatever it was to heal it. But then also, you know, I learned all the essential life and relationship skills that I was lacking when I was raised. So I learned how to honor and love all of me unconditionally. I ended people pleasing. And this is all the work that I did. These are the results of it. I now have self-compassion. I learned how to self-prioritize, always putting me first. I now know how to set healthy boundaries. I finally found my identity and my voice, and I learned to speak up for myself, and I learned how to communicate in conflict, and I know how to identify, feel, and express my emotions, and I built a deep inner connection with myself. And through all of that work that took years, that helped me start showing up differently for my mom in small steps. And so in small steps, she would see me changing. And, you know, it was not a smooth process for sure, but I was consistent. I never stopped. I started and I just kept going. And that's how I was transformed, and my relationship with my mother was transformed.
I think that that word consistent is really significant for you to like be consistent about who you are becoming when you come from this place of being, having so much uncertainty around that. And then also for her to see, and whether it's your relationship or another, for anyone to see as someone's shifting in their identity and like really building roots, that the people on the outside are seeing over and over again who you are choosing to become. And it seems at a certain point, it becomes like, I would imagine, pretty clear that no one gets to change you. Like, your mom might not agree with it. She might not like it. It might be different or uncomfortable or not what she would have chosen. But like, you've shown her over and over and over again. It's Maya Angelou comes to mind. Like, when people show you who they are, believe them. Like, at a certain point, she was like, I guess I have to believe Heidi because she's showing me this over and over again.
Right.
I know that's not the context that's usually used in, but I think it applies here. And so I think that that consistency is significant in both of those, you know, in both directions there for your own grounding, but then also for that message over and over to be like, this is who my daughter is now. This is who Heidi is. This is not something that's like, not a conversation. It's not up for negotiation. This isn't, I don't get to like change her Play-Doh, the Play-Doh of who she is.
Oh, that's 100% true. I mean, consistency is a pretty heavy word, really. So yeah, being consistent with my growth journey was very important. And being consistent in my work within myself for the sake of my relationship with my mom was extremely important, because if I wasn't showing consistent, if I wasn't, well, first of all, when you're doing the work, you have to be consistent. If you're, you know, I'm going to work on this struggle today, but I'm going to ignore it for the next 6 months and then work on it again 6 months, that's not going to get you anywhere. So consistency in the form of doing the work is really important. Starting and stopping is ineffective, and it's not going to get you to your end goal, or at least not quickly, or at least not in a reasonable amount of time. But then working on in my relationship with my mom, as I continue to show up differently, but consistently, she slowly, very slowly, but surely, even though initially in the beginning, it was extremely difficult. My mom didn't know what was going on. I was changing and she was unfamiliar with that version of me, which was my true self. There was a lot of tension. There was a lot of conflict, and it was not an easy time, but I stayed true to my journey and I stayed consistent. And so, you know, as I move forward, very delicately, by the way, in this process and in our dynamic, because my mom holds so much significance with me, she slowly started to see, okay, so this is who Heidi is. Oh, so this is her voice. It keeps showing up every day, every week, every month. So eventually it just becomes a new normal. And I will say that there could be situations for others who have a difficult dynamic with their mom, where the mom may never come around, and the mom may never, no matter how consistent you are, the mom may still fight it. And so that would require some additional thought and work. And what do I do with that then? Right. Mm-hmm. So I was grateful that through my hard work and very consistent and for years, that my mom, she loves me so much and she wants to have a good relationship with me. So she met me where I was eventually. And I'm extremely grateful. And, you know, today and years back, she embraces who I am now. And she's really proud of me. And, you know, she probably forgot. I mean, Maybe not. She talks sometimes about how I was her mini version of her and such, but she talks about it from a place of joy. And now I can too, because now I'm me. Now I'm Heidi. I'm
Yeah. I think all that is your point around it taking time and then like giving her, it sounds like you gave her a lot of space and grace, which can be hard to do, but you kind of both gave each other permission to take the space that you needed and take it slowly and get to a place where you can both have be healthier in the relationship. Can you talk a little bit about the being self-sacrificial and what is it like to grow up in a family that so, you know, where you're trained to be sacrificial and be this person who is self-sacrificial in relationships and then settling into someone who's using her voice and setting boundaries and asking for what she needs and going after what she wants without giving consideration or without prioritizing other people's opinions?
So, yeah, I mean, that is a huge question. And it is the most amazing feeling. It is liberating. And I feel so powerful, and not powerful in a way like, you know, I'm better than people or I can take over the world, but just powerful within myself. Like, I know who I am. I am in such deep gratitude for my level of personal growth work that I've done. And I've worked really hard to get to where I am. And it was really worth everything. I'm finally living life for me on my terms, honoring all of me and making decisions that are best for me each day. And I put me first every day. Every day it's Heidi's first. And then I take care of my son. And as I'm sure you know, when we take care of ourselves, we show up as the best version of ourselves for everyone else, right? So I put myself first every day, and I don't care who I'm up against. My mom, my husband, president, Heidi's first. And I still care very deeply for others. Of course, I mean, I'm now a life coach, right? But I no longer put myself low, last, or off the list. I make sure that I'm always at the top of the list.
This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. I love that. And I think that's so significant. I think it's so significant in motherhood. And I love that you put yourself above your child and that you said that really quickly, really assertively, without a minute of hesitation. And I think a lot of people could come on the show that's called the Shameless Mom Academy and be like, well, of course, if I'm going to talk on a mother podcast about motherhood, I should talk about like how I put my kids first. And you were just like, nope. So first it's Heidi. And then there might be a big gap. And then Hunter. But I mean, I feel, go ahead.
Well, I will say, Sarah, that would enter Sarah Dean because, you know, whenever that was, it was, let's see, I had my son in 2008. It might have been like 2010 where I was like, I need help. My career is sucking the life out of me, parenthood. And, you know, I will say that I was definitely not putting my son or wait, I was definitely not putting me first above anyone when I had my child. I was still in 2008, probably putting everybody else above me. So I was still on the journey of doing the work.
Yeah.
So I would say within the past 10 years is when I started putting myself first. Maybe the last 8 years is when I was like, got it. 100% of the time, Heidi is first. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't there. And, you know, your podcast actually helped me. And then, you know, your event and programs and such helped me a lot.
Thank you. I'm so glad. And I also think that, you know, it requires, so motherhood automatically, like you're going to keep your baby alive, one would hope, right? So of course you're prioritizing that. Like you have to prioritize that. There's no way around it. And I talk about this so much when I'm talking with women leaders that you can't not put yourself aside. And so in that process of putting yourself aside to keep a baby alive, you shut down all your intuition around like, am I hungry? And am I tired? And when did I last take a shower? And do I have to pee? And we shut all that down. And then we have to reclaim it. And no one tells you that you're going to have to go reclaim all those things, but like, you're going to actually have to practice feeling hungry again, or like practice recognizing your cues to go to the bathroom. And so I think that it's really significant when you have made this really, you know, big commitment over time to find your own voice and use your own voice and start building boundaries and start reframing and shifting relationships to work in ways that are mutually beneficial, to then go into motherhood where you have to, like, a lot of that has to kind of be put aside to keep a baby alive. And so then to like listen inward again and say, okay, wait a minute, who I was becoming before this baby was born is not someone who is going to let the child always be number one indefinitely. Now, of course, to keep the child alive, that for a while, the child's number one indefinitely. But then that recognition after a while of who am I and where do I fall on this list and how am I prioritizing me in order to then do all my other role, you know, live in my all my other roles and relationships in a way that, again, is mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
And so I think that all that becomes really, really important. And I mean, that's obviously reflected in the work that you do.
Extremely important. And I'll say too, that when I had my son in 2008, I was still a people pleaser. So, you know, factor that in. So I was low on the list. I was off the list. Like I was giving myself to, you know, my son's daycare and, you know, working 60, 70 hours a week. And my husband was traveling a lot. And so in 2008, I was still people pleasing. And so around 10-ish years ago is when I, because, you know, you don't just learn to stop people pleasing and then stop, right? It's consistency. It's like, okay, what is that? What am I doing? How am I showing up in, you know, my relationship with my son and my husband and my friendships and at work, right? Because it infiltrates your whole life where you please everywhere. And so I was doomed when I had a child because I was continuing to people please, but even at a heavier pace. Yeah. When I lost a ton of, you know, as a new parent, you lose a lot of bandwidth and energy and such. So about 10 years ago is when I overcame the people pleasing. And again, at that same time is when, well, truly, when I was introduced to you, I was at a point where I lost my identity. I am a corporate marketer for this company. I am a mom. I am a wife. What else do I do? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Five.
And that's so normal. That's mm-hmm. like so many moms listening are like, yeah. Oh, wait, like that tracks.
Yeah, and there's no time for anything else anyways.
Yeah, exactly. That, yes. And that's yeah. Like, well, if I'm those things, like, where am I supposed to build in a few extra hours a day to like discover myself? So yes. Yeah. I want to talk about, and as we wrap up here, I want to talk about how you work with women. And especially if there's, you know, the work that you have done yourself with your own relationships, if that's work that you're doing with women, so that people know how they might be able to reach out, connect with you, and potentially connect with you in terms of the work that you do.
Yeah. So I work with women in navigating their complex mother dynamic, no matter what it is. So I would imagine that when a woman has a complex or a difficult dynamic, it probably often has to do with boundaries, self-prioritizing, truly communicating your needs and your emotions and really standing up for yourself. So I would say there's some key areas that definitely come into play when it has to do with the daughter-mother dynamic. And I work with the women to heal all of it. So if your mom's never listening to you, if your mother is putting you down all the time, if you are never heard, or your mom wants to control your life, or your mom wants to control your child, right? So in all those ways, that has to do with relationships. And I help women in whatever area that is. And to be honest, when it comes to helping women heal their complex dynamic with their mom, it actually is work on the woman, building the relationship with the woman. Because when we are sacrificing any part of ourselves for our mother, we're neglecting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when we're sacrificing any part of ourselves for any relationship, we're neglecting ourselves. And so when we neglect ourselves, you know, that erodes our self-confidence, our self-esteem. With a mom, you know, like myself, and I know many women, we beat ourselves up inside when we disappoint our mom, when we upset our mom, when we hurt our mom, or when we lose her approval. Of course, there's identity issues like the one I had where my mom wanted me to continue to conform to be her. And that creates a lot of internal conflict that could even lead to stress, anxiety, depression. And then when we are faced with that recurring turmoil in a mother-daughter dynamic, that actually could make it difficult handling life's challenges. And with that, it then feeds into, you know, marital issues, issues in our family, creating conflict, unhealthy patterns, fostering poor modeling to your children. Yeah. How to have a healthy relationship, right? So we're teaching our kids, we're modeling to them in a healthy way of having a relationship. So when they go into the real world, they're not at the best place of managing and navigating their relationships. And then if we have daughters and we're not healing our dynamic with our mom, we could subconsciously repeat that exact same unhealthy dynamic with our daughter. So there's a lot that is impacted by our relationship with our mom if it's not healthy. Our mom is our primary caregiver. We have a strong attachment to our mothers typically. We're always or often seeking their support, their approval. They're our nurturer. So when things are not in alignment, we're not feeling good with the relationship, it can impact so many different areas of our lives, our relationships, our families, our marriage, so many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people find you to connect with you and continue the conversation with you?
I would love to continue the conversation. This is a topic like personal growth, self-discovery. I can talk about it, talk to people about it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I don't think I would ever get bored of this work or talking about it. But the best way to reach me is either LinkedIn, you can direct message me, or Instagram, direct message me. If you'd like, your listeners can also email me, and that's Heidi@HeidiCarlsonCoaching.com. And Carlson is CARLSON.
Okay. And I'm going to link through here. So I have your website on here on our show notes. We have your LinkedIn, your Facebook, Instagram, and then we have your email as well. So if people go over to shamelessmom.com, click on the episode with Heidi Carlson, they can get all those links quickly and easily. Okay, Heidi, final question. Can you tell us in one sentence how you're currently showing up as a shameless mom?
Absolutely. And I'm delighted to share how I'm showing up as a shameless mom. So I would say that with all the growth work that I've completed in my life, I believe I'm truly showing up as an incredible parent to my son. I'm deeply present. I'm modeling healthy relationships, a healthy relationship with myself, a healthy relationship with others. I'm modeling self-love, self-compassion, self-prioritization. I encourage him to express his feelings and emotions, especially as a man, you know, masculine. And I give myself grace when I fall short or make mistakes. I'm easy on myself now. I don't criticize or judge myself. And my son is seeing this, seeing me give myself grace and seeing myself be kind to myself when I make a mistake or fall short. And I always try and learn and grow from all of my experiences. And my son also sees this. And I think the most important, to be honest, is that I am beyond grateful that I have been able to do all this work for myself so I can save my son from inheriting the upbringing that I had, you know, and having to deal with all of this, being a people pleaser, not self-prioritizing, all of those things. That's the biggest gift in the world to me, is saving my son from all these, I guess, the upbringing that I had as far as like what I lacked, what I didn't receive. I really work hard to ensure that he's receiving all of that. Parenting is not perfect. We're absolutely not perfect. We certainly will make mistakes. I absolutely do. But at the same time, when I do make a mistake, I also tell my son, you know what? I love you so much. I am not perfect. By the way, no one is. I'm going to make mistakes. Yep. I need to know that they are never intentional. I'm just human and I love you so much. And
I love it. I love it. Heidi, this has been so great. I know that there's so many listeners who are thinking through their relationships with their moms. They're thinking through family dynamics and family intergenerational dynamics. So I know that you got a lot of people's wheels turning on this. Thank you for showing up and being transparent and vulnerable and really honest about your story and also what your journey has been like from, you know, from the beginning up to this point and how you've been able to grow and evolve in such incredible ways. I'm so grateful for your time here today and that you finally got to get here inside the academy behind the microphone instead of in a client capacity. So thank you for being here. I really appreciate it, Heidi.
Oh, you are so welcome, Sarah. It is absolutely my pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.